Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Today, a little bit different topic, a more cosmic topic. And the headline is Pi, a very cosmic number, a source of endless fascination, but perhaps not the fundamental number that we should be focusing on. Yeah, it's true. It's pretty funky. First, before I get into that, I want to tell you to please follow me and like my episodes, because I know that when I add podcasts, if I don't remember to follow the podcast, if I listen, then it can get buried. I haven't listened to The Sod Truth, which is one of the podcasts I most respect, in a while, because I let it get buried. So, you know, following and liking particular episodes helps that platform keep it higher up. And maybe do whatever else you can. I don't know if your platform might be doing some algo censoring, like some big tech. I don't know that if they do that, but would not put it past them, considering the types of things that I cover here. So pay attention as much as you can, and then that would help me have a better platform and become a better beacon of truth. So to the topic. The topic is pi, maybe not the fundamental number we should be looking at. Super cosmic. Incredible, maybe not. And so I'm going to get to that. And basically, pi is 3.1415. I'm going to give more of a primer to it. And instead, we have a much simpler way to look at the same shapes and relationships and get to an even integer, a 3 or a 6. Even, straight up even, 3.000000 or 6.000. And one wonders whether, like, physics understands this and pays attention to it. If not, is it, you know, another case of why do we use 440 hertz when the 430 hertz is definitely the more fundamental scale, the more fundamental with the nature of the universe, the more fundamental, as indicated by how much it resonates when you use those different dishes that vibrate at certain frequencies and you can see the patterns they make. So let's talk about pi very quickly. And yes, we're going to get to how is it that we're not using an even integer 3 and 6 that is about the same relationship that pi is supposed to be about. So I'm looking into this because I'm reading a book by Bob Frisell that I've had on the shelf, started before, called Nothing in This Book is True, But It's Exactly the Way Things Are. He's being a little facetious with the title, but it's trying to, you know, get back to, like, you know, getting on your own energy. Understanding your energy as the important aspect of your health and your mindset. And in so doing, he also goes back to trying to understand left mind, right mind, and trying to understand basics of the universe so you understand the importance of energy. And so in there, he talks about how the world was created, in essence. I've got another book that's literally called that. And the idea is, how would you, as a fundamental and the most simple steps, get to a universe? And he refers to three-dimensional movements that then would, by definition, inherently turn into this and then turn into this, so on and so forth. And those are hard concepts because he really means them as three-dimensional concepts, but in a book, they're two-dimensional. So I needed to go look it up in video. I did that. I avoided YouTube, like you should too. And of course, I had to kind of remember, where do I go? Oh, Odyssey, Rumble, BitChute, Brighteon, some others, but try to avoid YouTube at all costs because they are the big tech censors. They're Google. They're the big tech censors. They are the enemy of free information exchange. So I do. At first, I'm like, how am I going to do this? It's all right. That's right. There are platforms. Some of them are more mature. Found a perfect video on Odyssey. It's Dronvalo Melchizedek, one of three, geometry sacred. Actually, that's in Spanish, but you can still find it. The name's the same. 40 minutes. He talks eventually about the Tree of Life, not very far into it, less than 10 minutes into it. Tree of Life is one of these figures that you have seen your metaphysical fair friends, if they got t-shirts, they have either t-shirts or maybe posters or artwork that has these different kind of sacred geometry patterns, these kind of cosmic and pretty complicated patterns. But we don't need to go to the complication to get to where I'm going to get to about the why is it three? If we got threes and sixes even, then why would we need this pi number? Before we do that, let's go back to pi and what it is very quickly. Pi is a fundamental number that implies this incredible, endless fascination about the universe, because the simplest shape you can make, literally find a point, define any point, and now define all points equidistant from it in two dimensions. As simple as you can get. What is your distance? Okay, now document all points around that distance. I mean, around that point, as simple as you can get. But when you then look at that, go, well, this is a fundamental shape. What could be simpler? What can you make this any simpler? You need to have a point and one measurement. That's it. And then one instruction, all the points around it, as simple as you can get. And so then they go, okay, this is fundamental. What are some of the numbers that we get if we try to analyze this? Oh, if we take the circumference, the outside trace, and divide it by the distance across, we get 3.141599. It repeats forever and ever. Or it used to be like, how somebody has calculated out to this far, still doesn't repeat, and now computers do it. Still hasn't repeated. It's cosmic. It's a source of endless fascination. How can a number never repeat? In junior high and high school, you remember you did some division, and at some point in your decimal places, things would repeat, and then you were allowed to, if you could see where it started repeating, you would put a number, put a horizontal line over the repeating pattern. So if it was 7.26542542, you would put a horizontal line over the beginning 542, the first 542. And then that would mean that it was 542542542542 forever and ever. That repeat by itself is kind of cosmological. I mean, it's kind of metaphysical by itself. But then to go past that and go, if you take this exact measurement and you do this division, you never get an even answer. Ever. Well, that's great. And it's a very good observation. But as I'm looking into this this video, I see the tree of life. And I'm going to tell you how we get to threes and sixes. That's pretty cosmological too. That's pretty cosmic. That's pretty metaphysical, because I can get to an even number instead, an even integer. And why did I not know this? Why does math not know this? So we're going to talk about I think I may have said tree of life. I meant flower of life. Flower of life is one of these basic designs. And it really is as basic as you can get. Just like how I just told you, what could be simpler than drawing a circle? What could be more fundamental in trying to define anything than a circle? And so we're going to start with a circle. And we don't even have to draw the whole flower of life, which is more complicated. Just the first little full steps of it. The first set of steps after you create the circle. So create a circle first. In your mind, you've got a bright orange circle. That's the only a bright yellow circle like the sun. That's the only circle we're going to have. How do we do that? We created a certain radius. We had a compass with a certain radius. We are locking that radius in. Shoot, we're gonna weld it in. We're going to weld that radius in. So we created this yellow circle. What else do we do? What can we do? What else that is not arbitrary? It is not artifice. It is not ambiguous. What else do we do, if anything? We have a compass and now a drawn circle. What can we do? What can we do? We can use a compass as a distance measurement. That's true. Where would we put the middle? Where would we put the sharp part of the compass? What would we be measuring? We've already had it in the middle. What are we trying to measure now? What are we trying to mark at as equidistant? Where would we start? Well, the only place to start with any kind of logic would be on the circle, the drawn circle. So put your compass anywhere on that circle, but in our mind's eye, to make the rest of the explanation simpler, we'll start at 12 o'clock. So we'll start at 12 o'clock. We've got the welded in radius. We're not going to just measure to where the circle intersects, because we don't need to. We will get that if we now draw a new circle starting at the 12 o'clock position. We draw that circle all the way around. We end up with a circle that intersects into the middle of the original circle and intersects the circle itself in two different spots, right? And so what do we do next? We have two circles that are vertically above each other. The center of one is the edge of the other, and they're horizontal to each other, and they overlap in distance by half, right? The full diameter. They overlap by half. So what else can we do? Well, We still only have a compass with a welded, with a welded measurement. So we need to start it somewhere. Where's a logical place to start? Well, one of the points, the only logical place to start, or you're already doing more work. Now, you could go out to some arbitrary place on the new circle, but why are you starting there? Why are you starting there, and what are you going to do with it? We're trying to answer a different question now. We've already went to an arbitrary place on one circle. So why are we immediately now going to an arbitrary place on the other circle? So let's not start at the arbitrary place on the second circle. Let's not start at an arbitrary place along the original circle, because we already know we can draw an infinite number of circles around that, along that radius, right? And we can just keep tracing circles. But what's the point? So where is the obvious place to draw the next circle? We've drawn the first circle that is secondary, you know, after the yellow one, and that was at the 12 o'clock position. The only obvious place to start that circle is, I shouldn't say the only one, because you could start in one other place, but it will be defined anyway as we finish. The only obvious place to start is by putting the pin of your compass where that second circle intersects with the first center circle. And now draw your new circle. Now you have three total circles, the original, the 12 o'clock circle, if you will, and then the next circle you draw on the outside. The second circle that you draw on the outside intersects both the center of the yellow circle and intersects the center of the 12 o'clock circle, because the radiuses are the same. And now you have three circles. And by definition, then you just go on around, and it takes you six circles to get around. Six circles to get around. Now, remember, I said that what's the only other place it would be logical to set your compass after you drew the first circle? Well, maybe you'd say, well, I'd like my drawing edge to be where the second circle intersects with the original circle. I'd like my drawing edge to be there. Well, even then, what's the proper place to put your sharp point, also along the original golden circle, original yellow circle? But that point ends up being covered anyway when we draw it the first way. The same circle gets drawn. I've now drawn six circles by using the where did the last one intersect with the original circle. That's where I'm going to place my sharp point. I just told you it took six, exactly six, to get around to the 12 o'clock position. Exactly six, not 6.283 or whatever 2 times pi would be. Exactly six. We have an integer that is a fundamental characteristic of looking at and measuring a circle, and it's fundamental character. Like, literally, what could be more fundamental than the radius, and then how many times it gets, and we've used the radius to work our way around the circle. But we haven't used the radius in its linear form. We have. That's exactly what we've done. We use the radius in its linear form to get to the intersecting spot. We haven't taken the measure of the radius and wrapped it around the curved edge of the drawn circle, but we've done something more fundamental. We didn't turn a straight into a curve. We just drew another circle. And when we drew a circle, a circle, a circle, a circle, a circle, all emanating from the basic structure and measurements of the original circle, it took us exactly six to get around the circle. And if you want to look at it, every other one touches the edge of each other. Since each one overlaps by half, every other one touches the edge of each other. Therefore, it took three full circles along the drawn on the outside edge to get around the original circle. Now, isn't that more fundamental than using a diameter and using the curved distance? You're doing a lot more complicated things to get around side that edge, which is part of the reason I believe that 3.14159, so on and so forth, is less of a basic number. It's less of a fundamental number Now, does it point to, is it the artifact of endless, you know, source of endless fascination and cosmic significance? Yes, but it is the artifact. If we have even integers that are really a fundamental characteristic of circles, of a basic shape, then shouldn't that, those even integers, be what gets used in the calculations, which really almost implies a new math? Now, it could be that physics does figure this in, but I think, and so often, this might even be where a lot of constants have to come in. You know, a lot of constants are corrections. They're really just correcting factors so we can convert one thing into another unit. It might be where a bunch of constants has to come in, because we're using, even on the fundamental basis, not the most basic relationship, but a number that's derived from a slightly more complicated calculation therefrom. So yeah, interesting stuff. Hopefully it kind of ticked some of your left brain to help connect with your right brain and become more whole-brained. Well, that's kind of what I'm doing it for. I do have a sense of, you know, sacred geometry being very important and consciousness being very important. Because after all, if we don't have consciousness, when people say you're just flesh and bones, that's no. Flesh and bones is a corpse. Flesh and bones is a corpse. There's something else going on. Because I'm talking to you right now. My corpse can't talk to you. Your corpse can't. I can talk to your corpse and it can't listen to me or understand me. There's something else going on. And so it's very important to understand that something else is going on. And then, therefore, it sometimes implies, and how will that help me in my life? How much of this do I need to connect to? And it can always be important to understand. I mean, separate of what religion may explain it, because nothing that I just told you, means that there is not a Christian God. It's just more fundamental than that whole story. You know, it doesn't mean that there's not a Hindu God. It's just more fundamental than that whole story, and so on and so forth. Very interesting, though. Even integers, as you look at a really basic fundamental way to analyze the most basic structure there is, a circle. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley.